If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam,
din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam, din al-Islam. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Okay, Sheikh Javid, we are talking about Islamic laws, according to Ayatollah Khomeini, about prayer. And let me ask you this question. It seems to be a very important question. We know that it's not possible or permissible, in fact, to make a mosque because it's wholly impure, right? So you can't make impure a mosque which needs to be clean and pure. And whoever does it, this is the question, should he purify or take the responsibility to purify it? Or anybody who sees any place in the mosque has been made impure and he has to, strive to purify it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is a collective obligation or wajib kifai, according to legal parlance or legal terminology, to take action to purify the mosque, because it is haram to keep the mosque filthy or impure.
Yes.
And it is necessary for any individual who comes to know that the mosque has been made impure to take a quick action. A quick action is very important to purify it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the person who has made it impure, it's also obligatory on that individual to purify it. But if he is gone away, or if he is not in a position to purify it because maybe a child has urinated in the mosque and he is not able to purify it, so it is obligatory for any other person who comes to know that the mosque has been made impure to purify it and to take a quick action to make it pure, because maybe there are mu'minin will come in and they will start praying in the mosque while the mosque is impure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much necessary to make it pure as soon as possible. And it is a collective obligation. Whoever purifies the mosque, whoever washes and makes the mosque clean, then others are relieved of the obligation to purify it.
You know, that part, when you say purify it, you mean purify only that part of, for example, the carpet which has been made impure, right?
No.
The whole carpet?
It could be the wall of the mosque.
Uh-huh.
It could be any part of the mosque. Or it could be the prayer mats, or it could be that the door steps and everywhere, any part of the mosque that has been made impure. Even if Muslims or people do not pray on that place, do not do sajda on that place, it is still obligatory to make it clean.
But the other parts of the mosque which are pure and clean, then you can offer your prayer
in,
right?
Yeah, you can offer your prayer.
So the prayers are valid.
The prayers are valid, of course.
But we are talking about the simple impurity that it has to be removed from the mosque, right?
First of all, the essential impurity, for example, has to be removed.
Yes.
And then that part of the mosque which has been made najis, you see, has to be washed and made clean, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even if people who come into the mosque do not pray on that part of the mosque,
yes,
but it's that the whole mosque has to be pure.
Because it's a sacred place.
Yeah, it's a sacred place.
It is the place of God. Then you have to always keep it clean and pure,
even,
right?
You know, we know that even people who are in the state of janaba, or
yes,
who are women who are in the state of who get their monthly period,
yes,
they cannot they can enter the mosque, you know, and local mosques, a mosque other than, for example, the mosque of the Holy Prophet or Masjid al-Nabi or the Grand Mosque, the Holy Mosque, Masjid al-Haram, you know.
Yes.
They cannot enter those mosques. But when it comes to local mosques, so for example, we have a local and central mosque, Masjid Jame, or we
yes,
have a mosque in our
yeah,
neighborhood, it is permissible for a woman to enter that mosque, but she has to get out of another door. She
uh-huh,
can enter from one door and exit from another door if there is another door, you know. But she cannot stand there. She cannot leave anything there. She cannot halt there, and she cannot sit down there, you know. That's the,
are you talking
that's
about
point,
the place of prayer in a mosque where these people can enter and they have to exit the other door? Or you mean the yard of the mosque, which is usually attached to the mosque?
No, we mean the part which is dedicated as mosque,
mm-hmm,
you know.
And there is a formula that has to be pronounced for the mosque.
The formula. Maybe there is a part of the mosque which is not part of the mosque. It is part of the building of the mosque.
Yes.
But, for example, it's a kitchen or is there a lavatory or anything else, you know. That there's no objection to a person going to such places of the mosque.
Okay, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and stay with us.
La ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We are still talking about the rules about prayer, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, what is the Islamic law about decorating a mosque with, for example, some precious stones such as gold?
Well, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it is not permissible to decorate a mosque with gold if it means a kind of extravagance, you know. If it is tantamount to excessiveness, you know, when people are hungry, when people need food, you are using gold to decorate your mosque, you know, it's kind of going to extremes, you know. That's not permissible, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, because he says israf is not permissible. But if it's not considered israf, extravagance, okay, then it is makruh, it is reprehensible to decorate a mosque with gold.
Does this rule also apply to the shrines of the imams and saints and also their domes? Because usually they are made of gold, or at least it's coated with gold.
I haven't seen any fatwa from the religious authorities, from Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, about the holy shrines being decorated, because they are not mosques. You see, those are the shrines, those are the tombs of the...
But usually there are lots of mosques attached to the shrines, basically.
Yeah, they are attached to the mosque. But, you know, the tombs are not part of the mosque. Of course, I haven't seen any fatwa from the religious authorities considering it as makruh or forbidden. And of course, people do ask questions about this, but I have not seen any clear-cut fatwa from the religious authorities.
Okay. And how about the Islamic law about sleeping in a mosque? Is it something reprehensible if people, in fact, are sleepy and they... go to sleep simply in a mosque?
Yeah, you're right. It is reprehensible. It is kind of, it's makruh to sleep in a mosque. You know, people, you know, can sleep, but it's not forbidden.
I see.
It is makruh. And many people, you know, are under the impression that sleeping in a mosque is forbidden because some people might end up, you know, having a wet dream in the mosque and may make the mosque impure. But this could be one of the possible reasons why it is, you know, it's makruh to sleep in a mosque, you know. Some people may not be able to control their bowels, you know, and that's why it. This could be another reason for why it is reprehensible to sleep in a mosque. Generally speaking, sleeping in a mosque is reprehensible. It is makruh.
How about, you know, establishing or setting up a library in one part of the mosque, as we can see sometimes happening?
Well,
in today's mosque?
Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwa in this regard is clear. He says that it's not permissible. It's mm-hmm. not permissible to set up a library in a corner of the mosque. A mosque is a place where people have to do sajda, they have to worship God, they have to engage in prayers. You know, to set up a mosque is, in fact, a kind of using the mosque for yes. some for a purpose other than praying and other than doing sajda and other and devotional activities. So it is not permissible to use a space, a part of the mosque using a, setting up a library.
What about the basement or the second floor, for example? That could be, in fact, used for other purposes.
Yeah,
than...
if there is a part of the, you know, of the land of the mosque used for building a library or for any other purposes, there's no objection.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers to the questions that I raised about the rules about prayer according to Ayatollah Khamenei. We say, Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakat.
الظاهر والباطن